Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we are your weekly teacher council meeting. We get to bring up a whole bunch of ideas and thoughts and brainstorm and principles of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know, Julie, what do we got today? Because you're leading it today. It's all you.
I'm leading it today. We didn't do your thing where you say, I'm Kevin Jones.
Oh, and I'm
say,
Kevin I'm Jones.
I'm Julie Hilliard. Okay, I was just waiting for that. I just felt like I glitched because I didn't have that to like lead out.
I sprung it on you.
You did, but I'm glad you passed the baton. Okay, here we go. I have an interesting idea for today, if you will.
Yes.
Please open up your Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to use my phone today, and I would recommend that anybody that's listening that likes to follow along with scriptures, you are going to want them today because we're going to be going all over the place in every book imaginable.
Deal.
So let's start in Alma. We're going to go to chapter 1, and we're going to scroll down to verse 26. And hold on, okay, I want to go halfway through. Okay?
Yep.
And it's talking about, it says, and when the priest had imparted unto them the word of God, they all returned. Okay. So I'm not going to give you a lot of background because we're going to do one of those things where we like extrapolate a principle from the words themselves, not necessarily from the story.
Okay.
If that's okay. And because I want to read a certain part of it, I'll go ahead and read this. So it's talking about the fact that I'll return to their labors. Okay. So it says, and the priest, do you see where I am? About halfway through.
And when the priest or and the priest?
Nope. And the priest, verse 26.
Yes.
Okay. So think about this as the priest is the person that's teaching. Okay. So the priest is the teacher in essence.
Good.
So, and the teacher, not esteeming himself above his hearers, for the preacher was no better than the hearer. Neither was the teacher any better than the learner. And thus they were all equal, and they did all labor, every man according to his strength. So I started thinking about some of the questions that we've received from people in little comments, kind of little, like they're not snarky, but I'm snarky in my mind when I make the same comment, which is, man, sometimes I learn all this stuff and then it's tough for me to sit in class and not be critical.
Yeah.
See? Sure. So I want to talk a little bit about the learner role, but I don't want us to think about the role of our learners if we are a teacher. I want us to think about our role as a learner, because never is a lesson less effective than when you say, oh, I wish so-and-so was listening. Oh, I hope so-and-so gets something out of this. It's always about you. And so you are in the role of learner for what we're going to be talking about today. Okay.
Okay.
So really quickly, when you think about learning questions, man, Kevin, what are some of the questions that we could potentially ask ourselves about the topic of learning?
Why do I need this?
Okay.
How would I use it?
Okay.
How is it shown to be used?
Okay. How have other people used it, maybe?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Why not something else?
Okay. Well, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
Where can I learn more about this?
Okay. Where can I learn more? Good. Okay. So let's add to that just a little bit. Maybe some of these more general questions, like, how could I learn this better? Like, mm-hmm. Is, you know, think not spiritually, like how can I apply this and all of that kind of stuff, but thinking about like, okay, I am a visual learner and this is coming at me in an auditory way. How do I learn best? And then kind of going, okay, this is a harder way for me to learn. Another one is, you said, where do we learn? Okay. So let me ask you another question about it. So we are all asking ourselves these questions as we are in the role of a learner. Who is responsible and accountable, maybe both, maybe different, for your learning?
So I am 100% accountable. However,
define why that, just in case somebody hasn't listened to our accountability responsibility. You are 100% accountable because why?
Because I am the one that if I do it, I get the reward. If I don't do it, I get the consequence either way. It's the consequence, right?
Okay.
So if I don't learn, it's a negative consequence on me, not on anyone else, but on me, right?
Excellent.
Okay. I can give the responsibility to help me learn to a teacher of a class or a parent or a friend or whatever, but I still hold the accountability.
Excellent. So if you have in your mind delegated the responsibility of learning to a teacher and you're sitting in that classroom, then what is your responsibility in that space? So you've delegated the responsibility for your learning. So what are you responsible for?
I'll just say it from my perspective, to be engaged.
Okay.
I need, if I'm not engaged and I've given it to them, then what's the point? I mean, I've wasted the time basically.
Okay. So how do you stay engaged with a teacher that's not very engaging?
Well, a teacher, okay, one thing that I do personally is when they bring up a subject, if it's difficult to get much from the lecture or discussion or whatever it is, I'll dive deeper into other places. Maybe look up other scriptures or start writing some things about that, some ideas that I have. Maybe not follow so much what the teacher is teaching, but get the ideas of where to at least start and then dive deeper than what maybe the teacher is teaching.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is that you kind of take responsibility for being engaged, but then you just described something where you're disengaging.
Yes. I'm engaged in my own learning. I'm not as engaged in the teaching, however.
Okay, so you delegating this opportunity for learning to the teacher, so to speak, in your mind, I think that we sometimes, and this is just me speaking from experience and then from what other people have said, that we sometimes take with that the responsibility to actually be engaging. And then we almost feel like we have the right to critique the way that they're doing it a little bit, or that it almost lends itself to, to having a feeling of disappointment or having a feeling of, what's the word? I'm just going to use the word criticism. When things don't go the way that you expect, when you're not being fed the way that you want it to be fed, when you're not being taught in your learning style. And that can be a little bit disappointing for us, right?
Yes.
And so I think that part of what I want to talk about for just a few minutes today is how do we overcome some of that without becoming disengaged? I love what you said. I do the same thing. I dive into, you know, my own scriptures and things like that and take notes myself. And I think that when you described that, I thought of that as being disengaged, but then you said something right at the end that I want to point out, which is that you go where they take you, you just go deeper on the side kind of thing.
Sure.
And if you are staying engaged in the discussion, then you can even actually add to the discussion with some of the things that you are learning in the process. So one of the things that I did in preparation for today is I thought about what are some of the potential problems that we encounter as learners when we've delegated the responsibility to someone else to teach us? What are some of the problems that we encounter? So I want to talk about that for just a second. And then what are some of the things that we can do to be more engaged learners? So let's start with talking about the problems. So open up to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at chapter 3. Verse 7. Okay, New Testament, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 7. You want to read that?
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Yep.
Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Okay, so obviously we're taking that a little bit out of context right now.
Sure.
But if you look at some of the verses that are before that, do you have, like, what is the message that is being conveyed in verse 7? Kind of skim maybe some of the previous verses.
So it's almost like you're there checking off the box, but never actually really learning. But you can say you've learned because you were there, but not. That's kind of what from just quick skim of what I took away from it.
Yeah. So you're there, but you're not, like, you're hearing, but you're not necessarily doing anything with what you're learning. Because maybe you're saying this doesn't really apply to me. Maybe you're saying, you know, this isn't really resonating with me. Maybe you're like, this is boring. And so we're not ever coming to a knowledge of the truth. What's the difference between learning and coming to a knowledge?
Oh, we're going to go that deep. Okay. So I believe that, in one model, the knowledge comes first and then the learning comes second. The knowledge in one way is to your head and learning comes to your heart when you've actually used it or have really experienced it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this verse kind of reverses it, though.
Yes, it does.
It's saying you're ever learning.
Right. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. So maybe in this, and maybe, I don't know if this is where you're taking it, but maybe you're learning, but you're learning the wrong things. It's like climbing up the wrong ladder.
Okay. So you're learning, but maybe what you're studying isn't actually truth. Maybe you're kind of going down your own rabbit holes. So I'll throw one more thing out.
Good.
To know and not to do is really not to know.
Mm-hmm.
So you are getting stuff into your head, but you're not necessarily thinking about how it actually applies to you. So learning, but not coming to a knowledge, which means that you are almost like depersonalizing what it is that you're learning. So for example, you're sitting in the classroom, you're hearing all this information and you're not necessarily like, it's not sticking. Right. And so I think a lot of us are really guilty of that sometimes, that we, and this is an issue we could put under the umbrella of pride. So when we're sitting there and we think we are better than, or we think that it doesn't apply to us or whatever, we could say that, you know, there's an element of pride there. Right. So then let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 9. I'm hoping this all comes together the way that I think it will, because I'm taking it on a rabbit chase, but I want it all to come together. It's clear in my brain. We'll see if it ends up being clear in everybody else's brains.
Okay.
This is how teaching is sometimes. It's very organic.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll read this one if that's okay.
What verse?
Whoso not. What?
What verse?
Oh, I didn't tell you. 942.
42. Okay.
I got to tell you this. I'm sorry about that.
I can guess.
Okay. You can. You can guess. And whoso knocketh, to him will he open, and the wise and the learned and they that are rich who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches. Okay. So I just want to stop there. So do we, because we are teachers, ever become a little puffed up because we think we know stuff?
100%.
Okay. So if you're sitting in a classroom and you have taught this lesson before, are you ever going, oh my gosh, this is like, oh, good grief. And inserting yourself into an equation that you don't belong in and comparing that person to how you would have taught it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's something that we kind of naturally do. So those are a couple of potential problems with actually being a teacher learner.
Yes.
So you are a teacher in the role of a learner. So let's talk for just a second about some other more positive things. So I want to just open up the topical guide for a second. So if you go to scriptures and you go to study helps and you go to topical guide and go to learning, LEARN, learn or learning. Okay. So I started kind of skimming through this and something stood out to me. And one of the things that stood out to me as I just skimmed even the first few had to do with kind of how we learn, different ways that we learn. So kind of in a different way, I'm hoping, let's just see if you pull out, kind of start skimming and Tell me what is kind of standing out to you about how we actually learn.
Okay. All right. One is afflicted that I might learn. So we learn through afflictions.
Excellent. Look at the first one, even. I have learned by experience.
Yeah. Okay. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Okay. So through effort, maybe?
Yep. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what I was actually going to say is that we need to prompt it. The learning is always there, ready for us. Okay. But we actually have to go and search and seek and try to get it. And if not, right.
Okay. Like that. What about just even that Deuteronomy verse at the top where it says, hear my words that you may learn. Like, listen.
Just listen.
Okay. Anything else stick out to you?
He that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more. You continue to learn more.
Okay. So if you're receptive and you learn something, that receptivity can prompt more learning, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was kind of skimming through this, and I started to think about something specific. I thought, okay, so you think about all of these different things that real learning is going to come through experience, that we are accountable for our own learning, that we are responsible. Even when we're sitting in a class, if we've delegated some of that responsibility to somebody else to teach us, we are still responsible for staying engaged, for knocking, so to speak. For if we want to receive personal revelation and more light and knowledge, then we've got to be absorbing and be receptive to the light and knowledge that is coming to us. Okay, so here is the point that I want to make. I had this idea, and this idea comes from something that Stephen Covey used to teach. And at the very beginning of his classes, where he would have this huge group of people, he would set up 3-person learning groups. And he would say, basically, person one, I'm going to teach something, and then I'm going to have you teach it to everybody else. What, Julie? We were talking about us in the role of learners. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when he would do that, he would use some data by William Glasser and talk about the idea that when we know we're going to teach something, we simply learn better.
Yes.
So if you think about yourself sitting in a classroom and you're hearing something, you're going to listen differently if you have a lesson that you're going to be teaching that next week. Right? You're going to be like, come on, feed me, give me everything. And you're going to eke anything out because you're going to be listening super, super closely. So I started thinking, how can we get that type of learning experience? How can we create that for ourselves, even when we're not about to teach? And I had this idea, and it comes from a guy that is in my ward who is just incredible. I gave a talk 1 week in church, and the next afternoon, I think it was, there was a letter on my front porch, and it was a handwritten note from him talking about my talk and telling me what he appreciated about my talk. And I was like, wow, not only was somebody paying attention, but they like took the time to write me a thank you note about my talk. So I thought, that's so interesting. And I thought, he must have been listening really closely to be able to include those kind of details. So then on Sunday, I did Zoom church because I was out of town with my family. And I listened and I was like, this is so fun. Because I'm gone, I can take out my phone and I can text the speakers and be like, hey, this is what was so awesome about your talk. This is what I loved. And so I noticed that once I got that idea, I was listening to their talks differently. I was listening for what applied to me so that I could articulate back to them, this is what I got out of your talk. And so the suggestion that I have is, we've got all of this, you know, benefit that comes from learning. I read all of these scriptures about how we learn in the temple, how we learn through the scriptures, how we learn from other people, how we're responsible for our own learning. There's this one in Proverbs that talks about, I got to find Proverbs 1 because it's one of my favorites. Proverbs 1:5. Let me just find it really fast, because you know how Proverbs are. They're so awesome. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who we want to be. So how can we do that? And my thought was, we should, even if we don't deliver them, we should plan on writing learner letters. And so the idea is that as you are sitting in class, if your intent is at the very end of this, I'm going to write so-and-so, just a quick text, or maybe you are ambitious and write handwritten notes, whatever, but I'm going to in some way connect with this person who just taught this lesson. And so I've got to have something to say to them about it. Mm. And if that's your goal, you will sit in that class and listen differently because you're looking for things to create, to connect with them about. You're looking for things to articulate back to them that you got out of it. And even if you just eked this little tiny nugget out of it, you are going to listen so hard to get that nugget that you will be blessed with learning. Does that make sense?
That's great. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, what's your initial reaction to that? Is that like Pollyanna overly ambitious or does that make sense to you?
I don't think it's Pollyanna or overly ambitious. So going back to the thought of, oh, I'm going to teach this later. That's another way of kind of teaching it back, but paying attention to it. Yeah. So you'll start to learn. And it's really easy to do. I mean, it's not like a really difficult thing that, oh, I've got to put this in place, have to make sure this happens. No, you just look at it from a different point of view as if, or even start to create those notes. What'd you call them? Learning what?
I called them learner letters.
Learning letters.
Learner letters.
Yeah. If you're going to write a learning letter from each one, then you're going to be paying attention to it.
Yeah.
And looking for the positive in it as well, by the way. It's not just, it's because you're not going to write back saying, you know, you stunk when you said this one and you shouldn't. No, you're looking for the positive stuff to say, hey, thanks so much. I learned this from it.
Yeah.
And what did you take away? I love that idea.
Yeah, it literally, to me, it shifts my mindset. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you that since I've been released from my teaching calling, I have been a little bit discouraged because I loved how I studied the scriptures, knowing that I was going to teach them. Sure. I studied better. And so just about 2 weeks ago, I decided I just need purpose beyond just my own learning. I need more purpose so that I study a little bit better and differently. And so I actually decided to make study guides for my daughter. So my daughter has dyslexia. Reading is really, really difficult for her. She gets overwhelmed by Come Follow Me. We have a difficult time connecting during the week as a family to study together. And so she really wanted to study on her own. And so I'm now studying the scriptures with the intent of putting together a study guide for her. Mm. And I love it because I'm taking and I'm like, okay, how can I assimilate the story in a way that she's going to understand? And then how can I find these little points and just really kind of take a huge block of scripture and say, this is what you need to focus on, Addie. This is the part that's going to help you the most so that she doesn't get overwhelmed by the challenge of reading. Mm. And so I kind of, as I was thinking about how like uplifting and positive that exercise of making these study guides has been for me, I thought about this like learner letter idea as well. That when we go into something, we go in with a much more positive mindset. And even if the lesson is boring, you in your mind are looking for something positive. And when you're looking for it, you will find it. Like you will always find what you're looking for. If you want reasons to validate why you're a better teacher than this person, you're going to find what you're looking for.
Sure.
And so it's just not even worth feeding any of those thoughts. So there was this, this is kind of the thought I wanted to end with, because I thought that this was really profound to me. And because we are recording this right before Thanksgiving, I feel like this is a very appropriate thing to bring up. So hold on, I got to find it. Oh, come on. It's so funny because I pulled it up and then when I got out of the app, it took it away from me. So this is from a podcast, here it is, that I listened to a while ago. And I just wrote down this note because it really stuck out to me. So when you are planning to write a learner letter, you're looking for things to express gratitude about to this person, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, hey, I loved this. You don't even have to say thank you for saying. You just are like, wow, this helped me in this way. This, and it's an expression of gratitude. And the thing that stuck out from this podcast was the idea that gratitude is pro-social. And I was like, pro-social? How is gratitude pro-social? Mm. And this is one of the points is that it actually, one of the points of gratitude is that it builds relationships. You can't just acknowledge the thing for which you were grateful. You actually have to acknowledge the giver of the gift as well. And so it's like with Heavenly Father, if we are expressing gratitude for things, but not acknowledging him as the giver of the gift, then it's not really strengthening our relationship. One of the reasons I think that we are, you know, that it's suggested that having, you know, prayers that are where we express gratitude is because that is a pro-social thing in that it helps us to feel closer to God because we are acknowledging him as the giver of these gifts. Well, in the same way, when we are writing a learner letter to a teacher and expressing in whatever form our appreciation, that becomes pro-social as well. And that helps us to have a better relationship with the people that we have delegated our learning to. And that, in my mind, will always yield good fruit.
I like that. It's kind of like a twofer.
A twofer.
Because you're learning from it, you're focusing in on it. And yet at the same time, when you write the letter, you give it to them. And being pro-social, it helps with that bond.
Yeah.
Between
you and them. Yeah, because you're acknowledging them and their mm-hmm. effort and mm-hmm. like them as the giver of the gift of knowledge, so to speak, or whatever it is. And I'm telling you, when you know I say learner letter, I really genuinely hope that nobody gets overwhelmed and thinks they need to write a handwritten note. It can be as simple as, you know, a text, but I would challenge you to not just say, hey, thank you so much for your lesson today. That's not what I'm talking about. It has to be specific. What about it? What did you take away from it? What did, and that's the part that will help you listen better and learn more as you're participating in that lesson.
That's so good. I like that a lot. Can I share an idea that you made me think of that
please do.
Is that may or may not help someone here. I don't know. And I don't think, well, eighth grade. Okay. So maybe, I don't know. So here we go. Timing doesn't have to be perfect and as planned like the church says. So what I mean by that is that when you are creating these study guides, for example, or if someone decides, hey, you know, Julie, that's a great idea. I'm going to do these little study guides. I'm going to create something. Oh, but, you know, these podcasts about like Come Follow Him and other ones, they come out during the week. And that's where I get some ideas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the time ends and, you know, we move on to the next one. And creating a study guide at the end of the week doesn't make sense. Well, what if on Sunday, instead of being the last day of learning, so they use Come Follow Me in Sunday school, in primary, in young men's, young women's, for example, what if you use that as the first day and you just were a week behind with your children, for example? So you learn all about it during the week, and then on Sunday, it introduces to your child the next what's coming up, and you've got the study guide that you can just give to your kids in the second week while you're learning for the next week after that. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And you know what's so ironic about it is that that's one of the things that I was kind of feeling guilty about is that Addie's a week behind because I'm doing that. Okay. Right. And I was kind of beating myself up. I'm like, how can I help her to get a week ahead? How can I get myself a week ahead? And I was a week ahead when I was teaching my class. And so I know it's possible. And there are certain podcasts that come out in plenty of time to make that happen. But I have decided that I need to let go of timing, just like you were saying.
Okay.
And I think that the same thing goes for like all of this. We just need to come up with what works for us.
Yes.
Help us figure out how to be better learners. And part of it is finding purpose in the learning beyond just what is being taught. So what resonates with you, right? Like for some person, for somebody like with me, it might be writing these study guides for my daughter. For someone else, it might be a learner letter. But it really is like our suggestions are intended to just be a springboard to think you thinking harder about what would help you to feel a sense of purpose in the classes that you're attending. What would help you, like maybe you have a missionary that's on a mission and you're going to hold yourself accountable for giving them your thought of the week. This is a highlight of the week or something. And so it's about figuring out what that purpose looks like for you. It doesn't have to be one of our suggestions.
Okay, then I have a question for you. How it's so easy for us to go to into a class and just sit there and go, okay, and move on and not really think about it ever again and move on with life and continue to do things the way we always have. Is there something that some way or something, I don't even exactly know how to phrase this, where we can interrupt that pattern that you can think of, where we can recognize that, oh, I'm doing that. And I'm not looking at this with purpose. I don't have purpose in this. How do we kind of break that? How do we even recognize it, first of all? How do we get to that point is what I guess I'm saying.
So I can tell you, let's be honest, we are all human beings. And sometimes we go to church tired, right? And so sometimes all we can do is give ourselves a big old pat on the back for the fact that we showed up. So I want to acknowledge that the humanness can really interfere with all of this. But I love the way that you just phrased it, that is there something that we can do to interrupt the process and say, hey, I'm finding myself actually, and this is what you're meaning, right? Like that, how do we not just sit there and how do we figure out how to interrupt our passive learner brain? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I could hear people saying, oh, that's a great idea. And then they go to church and they don't think about doing this again because they're in their normal state of being, state of doing everything that they've done. How do we recognize that? Oh, wait, I need to do the learner letter or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Okay. So are you like this? Tell me if this resonates with you. So I am a planner and a lot of people aren't planners. And so I feel like if you don't plan, you plan to fail. And so for me, if I don't write something down, then sometimes I don't remember. Like, it was so funny. I was at the temple this morning and I stood in front of the prayer roll thing and went, I got a lot of people whose names I need to put on the prayer roll. And I'm like, couldn't remember any of them because in the moment, right. I just can't remember. So I would get to class and I'd be like, I'm supposed to do something really cool this week and how I listen. I can't remember. So my suggestion would be set an alarm on your phone with a reminder, interrupt your normal pattern and have that message pop up at the beginning of Sunday school. Just say learner letter, or let's say, you know, whatever it is that you come up with so that you get a little message that pops up. Another thing, take a pen and a little tiny notebook and put it in your, you know, purse if you're a woman, your pocket if you're a dude, have a little note section already set up ahead of time. Part of it for me is that I need to have a place and a way to do it already set up where I feel overwhelmed in the moment when it encounters me. This is not overwhelming. So maybe all you're doing is at the beginning of class, interrupting and saying, hey, I'm going to open up a text message to so-and-so who's teaching today. And then as the class goes on, I'm going to add to that text message. Or do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Like these are the logistics that trip us up that we don't need to allow to trip us up. So it's about planning to succeed. So what is it that you need to trigger something different? Do you need a reminder? If you're totally going to remember, then do you need a prop? Do you need a supply? Do you need, you know, the text message to be open so that you don't forget that you're supposed to write them a message? Like, what is it that you need? You've got to plan ahead to succeed. Does that help? Yes. Is that kind of what you meant?
Yeah, that's a great, yeah. I mean, it's just about interrupting that pattern of what I've always done. And yeah, I like that. I like the idea of opening up a text to that person, setting a reminder to do that, and then actually doing that, and then having that there and knowing that, okay, I'm going to actually do that. And then not forgetting, because it'll be open to that text.
Yeah, hopefully, right? Okay, I have a crazy thought and we can end on this. You ready? So now you're the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone listened like they were going to write a learner letter? But you can't say, oh, well, you guys all write me a thank you note at the
end. Why don't you do that for me? Because I'm so cool.
Okay. So what if you at the beginning of class were to say to everybody, hey, I want you to open up your text messages. Here's my phone number. And I want you to tell me one thing you learned from today's class. Just one thing. At the end of class, everybody send me a text message. I want to know what you got out of it.
Oh, that's great. Could you do that? That's great.
Like, you can do that, right? Yes. I think that would be so awesome.
I like that a lot.
So just a thought.
Okay. I'm going to add something to that, if I may.
You may.
Instead of, what is one thing that you learned?
Uh-huh.
Rephrase it maybe a little differently and say, what one thing did the Spirit prompt you? So that they're listening to the Spirit, right? Because they could just pick out, oh, I learned that David did this. Okay, no. That I want you to go a little bit deeper than that, right? I want you to tell me, what were you prompted to do? Or in what way was your testimony grow because of what you listened from the Spirit?
That is a way better question than the one I suggested.
But your idea was spot on, though. I mean, I'm going to start using that myself. I love that idea.
Teamwork makes the dream work, Kevin.
There you go.
Teamwork.
What a great, yeah, that is a great idea.
Good job, us, because that just came out of my mouth.
High five.
Yep.
There you go. I love it. Good. Well, thanks everyone for coming and listening. I hope you got a few great nuggets, because there were some really good nuggets in there, Julie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you would, please like, share, subscribe, even comment. The more, if you have a question, please ask. You can go to teachingrestored.com and ask a question, and we could include it in one of these episodes as we have in the past. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.